Danny Mac, the call on FS Midwest, and we head to the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line, and the Cardinal All-Star shortstop Paul DeJong does join us in the fast lane with Redbird World Series champion Brad Thompson and Chris Rock, Andy Carricker. Paul, thanks so much for taking some time with us today. We appreciate it. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Paul, what are you doing right now? I mean, it's April 30th. I would assume it's been since you were about 4 years old that in April you haven't been playing baseball. How are you keeping yourself sane?
Yeah, it's wild. Colton and I have just been treating this like December, January. We've been working out three times a week, doing some baseball stuff, getting in the gym. I've been playing homemaker here in St. Louis, getting comfortable in my apartment. Hopefully we play in St. Louis this summer. I'm really, really looking forward to getting back in front of this home crowd.
What kind of homemaking stuff are you doing?
Well, I got a bigger place this year. I ended up buying furniture for the first time. I always rented because it was easy. So,
all-star.
You know, little things, from plants to, you know, some salt lamps and some essential oils. I got good vibes rolling right now.
And I read a story that said you'd bought some architecture books. Are you homeschooling yourself in architecture?
Yeah, I'm actually designing a cabin for myself up in the Northwoods. I want to do it right. And, you know, I've just been trying to – I always love geometry and balance, so I'm trying to incorporate that into the cabin that I build eventually.
I have a stupid question because I've had too much idle time too, and I've been looking at like random pieces of land around where I live. Hey, if you're building a cabin out in the middle of nowhere, like how do you get electricity to that cabin? I mean, you're the smart guy.
I mean, yeah, that's interesting. There must be, I know there's power lines near the road where I'm potentially building. So I'm guessing they're digging bearing lines all the way to your breaker box, but I'd love to have a solar setup so that can be off the grid or even have the electric company pay me.
Okay, that's smart. That's really – you're thinking ahead of the game. Hey, I wanted to circle back to your plants. How do you expect to keep those alive when you're traveling?
Well, I did think of that already. I got these little, like, dripper – I'm going to hook, like, a two-liter bottle of something, sugar-free, of course, and hook it up and have it drip enough so that, you know, over the time of it, we're gone, hopefully it gets enough water. So – hopefully that works. It's good in theory, but we'll see how it works in practice.
That's brilliant.
Not shocked that you had an
answer. That's fantastic. And I want to ask about your furniture. First time you're buying furniture, did you have a particular style that you wanted, and did you wind up with what you always thought you would buy furniture-wise?
It's kind of funny because I have a place, a condo down in Jupiter area, and I end up getting the same master bed set that I got down there for up here. So, you know, sometimes you like something and you stick with it, but... Yeah, I got a little my living room is more of a brown theme when I'm usually more of a gray or a black, but you know, I dig it. It goes with my apartment, so it's good to have a little bit of both.
So, you know, you've been working out, as you mentioned, and doing the best that you can in the environment we're in now, and I'm sure you've heard of all the different ideas that have been thrown around about getting baseball going again, whether it's 3 divisions, 10 teams in each division, whether it's playing games in Arizona and Florida to start for a couple of weeks and then moving to your home ballpark. What have you heard of that you like and don't like? What do you think of all of these options?
Well, I feel like they're all ideas, and we should be freely expressing ideas and ways to make this happen. And, you know, some are better than others. I definitely want to end up in our home cities, whether they shake up the divisions and do the West, Central, East style with the three divisions of 10. I mean, that's kind of cool. The divisions haven't changed in a while. It might be cool to play this season where we only play teams in the Central. I think that's a viable idea, but, you know, I don't think the all in Arizona idea will work. You know, I'd like to be in Florida again for spring training and kind of get back to St. Louis like it was normal, whether there's fans in the stands or not.
Paul DeJong with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. And Paul, when I was a kid, I always bought Topps cards. I'd get some money. I think I got an allowance every week, and I had multiple shoeboxes full of cards. And it seems like the card industry has kind of taken a backseat to some of the other things like video games and people collecting and social media and all that. And for that reason, I'd love to see your relationship with Topps. How did that develop, and what do you want to achieve with your relationship with Topps Trading Cards?
Well, we've had a great relationship with Topps since I signed into professional baseball. And I think, you know, that they're starting to evolve with their own cards. You know, they got Star Wars cards and whatever else. So Burton Rocks, my agent, and his dad, Dr. Lawrence Rocks, came up with this education initiative called Tops of the Class. And, you know, we're giving out these cards where I'm in a lab coat with Dr. Rocks or with Burton. And just we're trying to promote because we know how hard it is to play professional sports and how very few people get that opportunity. So, now, I just want to give kids the confidence and basically promote and inspire them to pursue their educational interests, and especially as it comes to science and technology.
And you're doing some videos, right, that you're putting on social media?
Yeah, MLB.com and I, we did some science-related questions that I answered via, you know, like a little video. And, you know, I think those will go up soon. Some kids came up with some really good questions. So that's the kind of stuff I love hearing. The curiosity and the imagination of kids when it comes to new technology, and, you know, or describing baseball or asking questions that, you know, we might have overlooked as adults. So I'm just really enjoying this as it grows.
Paul, the entire morning at the Thompson household today, I watched my wife try to corral my six-year-old into doing his schoolwork. If I would have just told him, hey, you can ask any science question for Paul DeYoung and sent him a tweet about it, my little guy would have sat down and would have been locked and loaded. Like, that is a really a cool thing because you make it cool. Like, that's a really special thing.
Yeah, and some of the questions are really interesting. Like, for example, why is the mound elevated the way it is? And, you know, we got to mention Bob Gibson in my answer, or, you know, saying how a flat ground guys throw that every day, kind of bullpen guys, that's their touch-up, and games would last forever. So, you know, just asking questions like why is the mound elevated is really cool to hear from a kid.
You know, you're a studious person, as we're talking about right now, a graduate of Illinois State University. I was telling these guys before the show today, asking them if they had ever heard of Illinois State for a time period trying to go by the Illinois State University. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I mean, I think it sounds good to say the Illinois State. You know, I know they may have stole that from the Ohio State, but, you know, I think college camaraderie and school spirit is really cool. And, you know, I love giving back to Illinois State just for what they've given to me and, you know, the opportunities I got from them. So, definitely still close to that program and going to continue to give back.
Attaboy, Paul. They're gonna be calling you. They're gonna ask for your services as much as possible.
Happy to help.
The Cardinal shortstop, Paul DeYoung, with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Paul, you were tearing it up down in Jupiter offensively. How much of a bummer was it for you when that, I guess it was a Thursday afternoon, we were watching you guys, and then afterwards you come in and no more games? How much of a bummer was that for you?
Well, it was good and bad. You know, obviously coming off last year, a lot of ups and downs. I did some things that, you know, were great and did some things that, you know, I definitely want to improve on. So, you know, my mindset last offseason going into this spring was really to be more consistent. And, you know, I think I achieved that through some body stance different. You know, I just got wider. I was more balanced in my legs. Last year I was a little vertical and kind of underneath everything, and that's why I didn't hit for as many hits as I should have gotten. So, you know, for me to have that spring, kind of developing my routine, especially in the cage, and, you know, seeing how it translates so quickly, definitely something I'm going to build on. And it was great to have that opportunity in spring to feel that out.
Hey, Randy mentioned that last spring training game, and we were watching it on TV in the studio, as he mentioned, and it felt so eerie. It just felt weird knowing that that was basically like the only sport that was going on. Everything else had shut down. What was that feeling like being out there and being a part of that?
Yeah, I don't know how much you guys knew about that day, but we were kind of told before the game, and that's why you may have felt that energy, just because players kind of knew that was coming, and we knew we had to play that game, and basically they were going to suspend it indefinitely. So I'm sure you had a little sixth sense about, you know, what we were putting out there. And, you know, I know I felt a little depressed whenever they announced that about 11:30 noon right before the game. I mean, so it was kind of a weird day, and, you know, looking forward to getting back out there. I know our energy is going to be so much better whenever we all get a chance to be on that field again.
So if it is in front of no fans, which it looks like that's pretty much going to be the best option, maybe they limit the amount of people that can be inside the ballpark. How do you get through that and, you know, get through a game? Because we talk about the idea of energy in the ballpark is one of the things that drives all of you while you're playing. That's part of it. It's part of the experience for you, not just fans, but for the players as well. How do you get through it if it's like 80, 90, 100 games or so and it's like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a challenge. And I think it'll be, you know, like I have said to people before, well, at least we have an even playing field when it comes to all this. And, you know, I think all of our guys are, especially guys that are going into arbitration or guys going into free agent years, I mean, those guys are caring about how they play. And, you know, so I think, you know, our effort level and our attention is going to be good. But, yeah, we might not know how much those 40,000 a night kind of pick up our energy to play 162 games. You know, thinking back to the minor leagues, even still having people in the stands was exciting when you hadn't made it to the big leagues and didn't know what that felt like. But, you know, I think we're all professionals and we'll find a way, though I'm sure there'll be an adjustment period. But, you know, knowing that people are watching at home and still following, I think we'll still feel a lot of that support.
Hey, Paul, I got to ask you one more question. This one from Randy. MLB.com did polls of all the players to find out who the biggest trash talker on every team was. On your team, Miles Michaelis surprised me by winning the vote. Is he really the biggest trash talker on the Cardinals?
Well, you have to almost exclusively pick a starting pitcher. They just have so much time on their hands. They get to stand around, and they're the ones that get to engage in activities like that because they get thrown out. Well, I don't know. They might still have to serve a suspension for their start, but you know how it goes. You know, starting pitchers, they love to get into it and defend their guys. So all of it is for the love of the Cardinals, I'm sure, with Miles.
And it was between Michaelis and Flaherty, they said. For those.
Yep, two starting pitchers. Those are the two guys I would pick.
The country club crew. Now it works out pretty well.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to hit on one more thing with you because a lot of times when people talk about you, talk about Paul DeJong, talk about the power and the 30 home runs last year, it's a beautiful thing. And the Cardinals haven't had something like that at shortstop for a long time. But you have turned yourself into one of the best defensive shortstops in the game. And I would have to believe that that's something you take a great pride in, is being that complete baseball player. How much of your thought process, how much of your work goes into that defensive side of thing as opposed to just the swing in it?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I've evolved as a player. Going back to shortstop was like an epiphany for me defensively. It's almost like something just absolutely sparked in me, and I love playing defense now. You know, I feel natural over there. Immediately felt comfortable, and you know, now playing for a full season last year, full 162, I got to see what it was like to have a hot start and fade away into what I did. And so, you know, the thing that kept me going was that defense, really separating the game into, you know, offense, defense, base running, you know, those types of things, being able to compartmentalize and focus in on what you're doing is huge. And, you know, working with Colton and Jose Oquendo and, you know, always talking with Ozzy, you know, I've just evolved with it, and really just, it's more about intention of how I work and things that I want to get better at. And so, you know, training has become a lot more focused with the help of Jose and Colton.
How much of it is your work with Wong and your first baseman that you've had the privilege of working with this past year?
Yeah, Goldie was incredible for us last year. You know, just the presence around the bag, the big target, the soft hands. I mean, you couldn't ask for anyone better, especially a leader in our clubhouse. You know, I couldn't say enough about how much he means to our team. And I think what you saw last year was, you know, just our desire to be a good infield group. I mean, you know, how many Gold Glove, you know, finalists we had on our team. And, you know, that was by intention. You know, a couple years ago, it was a different story, and we heard about it. And so, you know, the last 2 years, we've really kind of emphasized it. And that's a lot of it comes out through Schilt. And Subby Klaffa stays on us. Done a great job for us as an infield coach.
Paul DeJong, great to hear your voice. We can't wait to see you out on the field again. Hopefully it's sooner rather than later, but we appreciate your time today. Hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah, sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Paul, take care. That is the Cardinal shortstop, Paul DeJong, all-star shortstop, Paul DeJong with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Next up, more baseball. Yadi has changed his mind about perhaps ending his career somewhere else, but can that really happen? That's next on 101 ESPN.